Welcome into the Money Line here on a Friday evening. ESPN 102.5 The Game streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth here with you. It's 6 o'clock on a Friday, which means it's time to talk all things sports betting with you. And this week, we do not have Chase McCabe. Chase is on assignment in Dover, actually, as he is at the NASCAR race, big racing weekend up there. So hope he's enjoying that. So joining me here this evening is the one, the only Elijah Campbell. Elijah, how we doing?
Oh, he's back. He's back and he's doing. I'm excited to be on. I had a blast the last time I was here. I'm 1-0 in my locks. I'm on a roll. I'm ready to get started, man. I've been looking forward to this all day. Trying to make the good folks in Nashville some money.
Well, you know, you've done a show with Chase, but you haven't done a show with me. So,
correct.
Looking forward to the next hour as we talk some football, we talk some hockey, we offer some parlays, some future bets, locks of the week. As you mentioned, you are undefeated in your locks of the week. So
that's right, 1-0.
We'll see if you can make it 2-0 later on in the program when we do offer up our locks of the week. We'll be talking some Preds and Canes also. From a sports betting perspective. So a lot to get to here on the program this evening. But Elijah, one of the biggest things of this sports week has been the release of the NFL schedule. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. I was listening to Darren Donick and Chase, and obviously that is the show that you produce on a daily basis here with ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yeah, I know those guys.
And yeah, you may know them. And when the schedule started leaking on release day on Wednesday, the week one matchups were unveiled early in the day, and it's going to be the Tennessee Titans and the Arizona Cardinals in week one at Nissan Stadium. And I found it humorous listening to Darren and Chase break down the betting line, which is the Titans favored by 2.5. We'll get to that in a second. And then Willie Donick being perplexed that you can bet on an NFL game in week one 4 months in advance. I got a lot of joy out of listening to that breakdown on Wednesday.
Oh, that was the highlight of the week. I mean, I've never heard sports talk radio where we are arguing over who should be the favorites of this game in May for a game that doesn't kick off until September. And my favorite part about that too might have been Willie originally thinking how ridiculous it was that we have lines for this game, yet still passionately arguing for the Cardinals or for the Titans to be the favorite. Instead of the Cardinals in said week one matchup. So we almost got the juices flowing with Willie a little bit. That was a lot of fun. Hey, I'm for it. I'm all for some week one talk in the middle of May. So sign me up.
It's always good to get the juices flowing for Willie Donick. So let's get into that. Let's start the show that way. The Tennessee Titans are 2.5-point favorites at home against the Arizona Cardinals in week one. People might think that's crazy that you can bet on week one. And yes, my doorbell just rang and I won't be able to answer it. So the Tennessee Titans, no, I believe the landscaping people are here. Anywho.
Even more important.
So yes, indeed. So the Tennessee Titans, 2.5-point favorites against the Arizona Cardinals. Elijah, if I were to bet on this now, I'm probably going to take the Arizona Cardinals to cover the 2.5. And here's why. I think Kyler Murray is a tough matchup for this Titans defense, that they're going to be debuting some new faces. You don't know Bud Dupree's status right now. DeAndre Hopkins has typically owned the Titans over the years. So, and he'll also be facing a Titans secondary that is going to be suspect at best to start the season, even though you've got Caleb Farley, the first round pick. But again, he's an unknown. Arizona, it feels like Arizona is a team where they can beat anybody or they could lose to anybody. And Kyler Murray, who knows if there's another level to him in year three. But I think I would go with the Cardinals if I had to put money on it today. I'm not going to, because I'm not going to bet on a game 4 months in advance. But if I had to today, I would go with Arizona. Who would you go with?
Oh, man, that's so tough. It's hard to even pick a favorite in this to me, just because I feel like both teams, there's a lot of question marks. Like the Cardinals were probably the busiest team in free agency. You don't really know what you're going to get out of J.J. Watt. I mean, you added A.J. Green, at which you don't really know how many games you're going to get out of A.J. Green. And the Cardinals were a team that looked really, really good at the first part of the season last year. And I think they went 1-5 in their last six and really stumbled down the stretch. So it's hard to get a good gauge of what the Cardinals are going to be this year. And the Titans lost so much, too. I mean, you go to the offensive side, you lost Corey Davis, you lost Jonnu Smith. No more Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator. Is the offense going to look the same? Is Ryan Tannehill going to look the same under Todd Downing? You still have Derrick Henry in the backfield. At what point does he kind of start getting on his downward slope? I mean, how many years are you going to rush for 2,000 yards and keep the kind of the torrid pace that he had at the end of last year? It's tough. I could see the Titans being favored just because of the home field advantage. I think it's significant, especially when one team's coming across the country to play you.
Sure.
It's tough. But the Cardinals are the sexy pick, and I think I would lean towards Arizona if I was picking that game right now. Man, it's because I just like Kyler Murray, too. We still don't know how good the Titans' defense is going to be. I mean, kudos to the Titans for making a valiant effort on trying to fix that part of the field, which of course was so bad, and the pass rush, which was historically bad for a playoff team. I just don't think, and there's a good chance Bud Dupree doesn't play week 1. Got to keep that in mind as well. I think I would go Cardinals, but I mean, you can't ask for much of a better week 1 matchup in terms of, I guess, the evenness of the matchup.
Totally. I mean, there are some great week 1 matchups throughout the NFL. I mean, Buccaneers Cowboys to open the season is a ratings dream, and the Cowboys are 6.5-point dogs. So, I mean, I would probably lean Buccaneers -6.5 in that game. You know, it was curious to me how quickly the line jumped between the Jags and the Texans. Because I believe the Texans opened as a 1 or 2 point favorite.
That's hilarious.
And now the Jags are 2.5-point favorites, which means all the money is going on Jacksonville, which is probably the smart play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because he's playing quarterback for the Texans. And I think I saw where we talked about on Darren Donick and Chase, too, that all the money was going to Jacksonville. Like, they saw where the Texans were favored, and then everyone rushed to the sports books to be able to put money down on Trevor Lawrence and his debut. Because, I mean, who's going to be back there for Houston? Davis Mills? I mean, Tyrod right. Taylor? So I think that's that would be rather wise to fade the Texans at all times. I think that might be the team this year that if you're going to fade in each game, that's the one you do it for.
Exactly. So some interesting lines out there for week 1 that you can check out. Again, the Titans are 2.5-point favorites against the Arizona Cardinals in a game that is a little less than 4 months away. And if you so choose, the Titans are 2.5-point favorites. The Cardinals are 2.5-point dogs. So the other thing that I started looking at, Elijah, with the NFL schedule release was the over-unders for team wins. And Chase and I spent a lot of last week talking about some of the over-unders. That was cash or trash. So we need to stash that segment away for later on in the season to see how the cash or trash is doing at that point. But one that really stuck out to me, especially after looking at the schedule, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers do not have that tough of a schedule.
Mm-mm.
They are returning all 22 starters from a Super Bowl winning team. They apparently have the 29th ranked most difficult schedule, which I don't really put a ton of stock in May because things change throughout the season.
Right.
But here is one nugget to keep in mind for Tom Brady teams. Since 2010, Tom Brady's teams are clicking at 100% to its preseason team total wins over.
Wow.
That record is 9-0-2. And look, the Bucs are in a division that has a lot of uncertainty in it. You can bet that the Buccaneers are going to be a playoff team. It's now a 17-game schedule. Elijah, I think I have to hammer the over on 11.5 wins for the Buccaneers this year.
I think so, too. that's safe. I mean, what's not to like about them? They got everybody back. I mean, how many times, or I guess instances in NFL history, can you say a team won NFL free agency by just not losing anybody? Like, they didn't have to pick up anybody. They just didn't lose anybody, and they still became the winner of NFL free agency because that defense was loaded, and if the Super Bowl taught you anything, it's that they will take advantage of really bad offensive lines. And, of course, like what Tom Brady's going to be, I guess, in terms of offensive productivity, I don't know in terms of, I guess, like stats and numbers and where he's going to rank, yada, yada, yada. But they're going to be good enough to win football games, and he's proven that he's going to be able to do that. And you mentioned it. It's hard to gauge how easy their schedule actually is, but knowing what we know, they have the 29th ranked schedule because the teams that they play this year combined to win 41% of their games last year. It's 41 or 43, but, I mean, below 50%. They were under 500. Their opponents were last year. And the division got a little worse. The Saints are going to be the same as they were last year. I don't really know how Sam Darnold's going to be in Carolina. That's a huge question mark. And we don't know what the Falcons got. I think they probably won the draft by getting the best overall player in the draft in Kyle Pitts. But how are they going to be able to stop anybody? I mean, they're going to be able to score points if they keep Julio Jones. The offense is going to be fun to watch. But Lord knows if they're going to be able to stop a nosebleed. You know, so I think the division got a little easier. So you're going to have to take that into account. I think they're going to win. They're going to win the NFC South. They're playing teams in the AFC East. So they're playing the Patriots, which I think should be a win. I don't think that one should be even close.
Tom Brady is not losing his return to Foxborough.
Absolutely not. Against Bill, I don't think so either. And they got just such a better team, too, that it's hard to bet, even on the road, hard to bet against Tom Brady in that game. I think they'll kill the Jets. The Bills will be the only competition in that division. I think they'll beat the Dolphins pretty handily too, even though the Dolphins did get a lot better. But Tom Brady gets to play that same division that he dominated for well over a decade. So
yes.
The schedule definitely is a lot more favorable to the Buccaneers, especially considering that they are defending Super Bowl champions. So I'd hammer the over as well. I think you're onto something.
So let's move on to a different team in the NFC South real quick, because another line that stuck out to me as being really hard to gauge whether to go over or under is your New Orleans Saints. The over under on the Twin Spire Sportsbook, which is my sportsbook, the presenting sponsor of the money line, the over under for New Orleans is 9. So Elijah Campbell, Mr. Saints fan, how do you see that over under real quick for the New Orleans Saints?
Ugh, it's tough, and that's a fair gauge for the Saints, a fair goal, because you don't know what the offense is going to look like. You don't know who's going to be taking the majority of your snaps at quarterback, whether it's Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston. And I think you're going to see both this year. If there's anybody that's going to be able to take that situation at quarterback and make it work, it's Sean Payton, because Sean Payton has had all three. I guess Jameis Winston never really started a game in New Orleans, but he's had Teddy Bridgewater start several games last year when Drew Brees was out. Saints won all of those games. Taysom Hill started all the games that Drew Brees was out against, or this past year when he got injured, and I only lost one or two of those games. Won a majority of them, including two wins against the Atlanta Falcons. They swept a division opponent with Taysom Hill at quarterback. So if there's anybody that's a coach that can manage a quarterback room like this, I believe it is Sean Payton. He's just really good at getting guys to do what they do best within the confines of their offense and the rest of the skill players around them. So I will go over only because the defense is going to be very good. I kind of liked the addition of Peyton Turner on the edge to replace Trey Hendrickson. The defense is still strong on the back end. It was the number 2 or 3 defense in the sport. A lot of those guys are coming back. Your best players minus Trey Hendrickson are coming back. I still like the roster enough to win more than 9 games, but the quarterback, obviously the most important position, the biggest question mark, is a good reason to be a little more pessimistic about them getting over that number as well.
Should be interesting to see how these over-under lines change throughout the offseason. As we lead up to the 2021 NFL season, it cannot get here fast enough. All right, coming up next, speaking of something that can't get here soon enough, the Stanley Cup playoffs, round one begins tomorrow night between the Bruins and the Capitals. We all know the Predators go to Carolina for game one starting Monday. What are some bets that I like that Elijah may or may not like as it pertains to round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs? We will get to that on the other side. He's Elijah Campbell. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to The Moneyline, powered by the Twin Spire Sportsbook, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back into the Money Line, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Ford, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday evening. Chase McCabe is in Dover. And before we get to Cash or Trash, Elijah, Chase texted me and said, just standing next to Joe Gibbs, no big deal.
Wow. That's
so I told Chase, hey, you got to get him on the show, man.
That's right.
You got to get Joe Gibbs either on Chasing Checkers or Darren Donick and Chase.
Yeah.
We all know it's a big racing year in the city of Nashville. No better time to have Joe Gibbs on the show. So
good time to do some networking.
Chase, exactly. Chase McCabe having a lot of fun in Dover for the racing weekend. So Elijah is sitting in for Chase, and you know the drill, Elijah, on Cash or Trash. I will make five picks for the Stanley Cup playoffs for round one, and we're not going game by game. I'm going to offer five picks for the entire series of five different round one series coming up starting this weekend, and then you will tell the audience and me whether that pick is cash or trash. Are you ready?
Let's roll.
All right, let's roll with number one.
Number one.
The Bruins taking on the Washington Capitals, one of the most attractive first-round series across the Stanley Cup playoffs. The Bruins are favored in the series, even though they don't have home ice. The Bruins are coming into the playoffs pretty hot. The Washington Capitals have been banged up a little bit. Their goaltending has been in flux all season long. You don't really know what you're going to get between the pipes for the Caps. So, Elijah, on the TwinSpire Sportsbook app, you can get the Bruins at minus 138 for the series. I am taking the Boston Bruins at minus 138 for the series, because I just trust the Bruins a lot more in a playoff setting than I do the Capitals, which is hard for me to say about a team that won a Stanley Cup just a few years ago and asked Peter Laviolette as their head coach. But give me the Bruins minus 138. Is that cash or is it trash?
Oh, that's cash. I love this Boston Bruins team, and I think they're one of the winners of the NHL trade deadline by picking up Taylor Hall. I mean, that adds depth that they sorely needed. I mean, and they'll also go as far as Tuukka Rask can take them. He doesn't have the greatest playoff record, but he's at least taken them to a Stanley Cup final before. I love this roster and this makeup by the Bruins, and we don't really know exactly what the Capitals are going to have as a team in terms of their health. I mean, TJ Oshie's a big question mark. They have some question marks up and down the board as well. I'm just really confident in the Bruins this year. They seem like the more complete team at this point in time. Fewer question marks, cash it.
And I'm actually looking on TwinSpires now. The line must have changed this afternoon because the Bruins are now minus 162.
Oh,
they went from minus 138 to minus 162 today.
They know a little something.
So all the money is going on the Bruins. So, all right. Well, let's move on to the next round one series within the East Division.
Number two.
The New York Islanders are taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins in probably what's going to be the most competitive one versus four matchup in round one, or so people think. I'm not totally on board with that. And I know Barry Trotz is a really good playoff coach. He's been a much better playoff coach outside of Nashville than he was here with the Nashville Predators. But the Islanders have struggled down the stretch. They struggled all year with the Pittsburgh Penguins. The Penguins are coming into the playoffs on a heater where they won the East Division. I just really like the Penguins in this matchup against the Islanders. I know the Islanders play a good style of hockey, a good brand of playoff hockey, but give me the Penguins at minus 141 on TwinSpires. Elijah, is that cash or is it trash?
I'm cashing with confidence here. I really like the Penguins too. I'm not really sold on the Islanders, even though I do feel like they have a very successful roadmap to pulling off the upset, and that's having a hot goalie. Varlamov has been, I guess, one of the more underrated players in the NHL all season long. I mean, he's one of the leaders in shutouts and amongst all goalies. And honestly, I mean, that's how they're going to have to do it. They're going to have him just play out of his mind to pull off this upset, but I don't see it happening because the Penguins got embarrassed in the playoffs last year against the Canadiens, who rode a hot goaltender to help them pull off that upset. So I don't think that happens twice in a row. I think they learned from that lesson. They learned from the lesson of Barry Trotz coming in and sweeping them 2 years ago, too. I think that's fresh on the mind of Sidney Crosby and company. And the Penguins are just too good this year for me to think that those ghosts of the last two playoffs are going to haunt them here. I just have a hard time seeing them out in the first round.
So if the Bruins and Penguins both win in round one, that would be a pretty spicy round two matchup between Boston and Pittsburgh. Hopefully we get to see that. But if the Capitals or Islanders win in round one, no matter what the round two matchup is in the East, it's going to be quality seven-game series. So, all right, you have cashed each of my first two picks. Let's move on to the North Division.
Number three.
Oilers versus Jets. Now, if you had asked me 2 months ago who would win this series, I would say the Winnipeg Jets, because I did not like the way the Oilers were playing midway through the year. But the tables have absolutely turned on this. The Jets were horrible down the stretch. The Oilers are surging into the playoffs. Now, the tricky thing here is that the Oilers are minus 186. I don't like that value in terms of just a straight up pick. It's hard for me to go all in on a pick if it's really over minus 160, just because you don't get a great bang for the buck. But I'm very confident in the Oilers, so much so, Elijah, that I am going Oilers Jets under 5.5 games within the series, which you can get on Twin Spires right now at plus odds. So Oilers Jets under 5.5 games in the series, which means the Oilers win, in my mind, in either 4 or 5. And if the Jets somehow find a way to beat the Oilers in 4 or 5, then you still win the bet. So under 5.5, is that cash or is it trash?
This is the first one I'm trashing. I think this one's going to be a lot closer than people think. I think Connor Hellebuck's going to at least steal them one game, maybe two. The Jets also just have enough firepower to at least keep up with in one or two games. I think the Oilers win the series, and I'm very confident they win the series. But I see the Jets stealing at least two games. Because A, Hellebuck, they have the better goalie, and Connor Hellebuck has a lot of time, oftentimes in this season, led them to wins that they had no business, you know, games they have no business being in. So I think he's going to at least steal one. I think they steal another one just because you might have an off night for McDavid, Draisaitl. Maybe Andrew Kopp has a big night. Wheeler has a big night. Pierre-Luc Dubois might help them out. The Jets still can score, I guess, on certain nights. So I'm confident the Jets steal at least two. I even think this might go to seven. I'm also not 100% confident in the Oilers dominating anybody in the playoffs, just because I haven't seen it from this group yet. I feel like they have underachieved in the postseason the last few years. Their best players are still relatively young. So I don't know. I feel confident that the Jets make this a series.
All right. So I'm not very confident. Here's why. Hellebuck has a goals against average against Edmonton of close to 4 this season. They played 9 games. I forget how many that Hellebuck played against Edmonton. But his goals against average, he got lit up like a Christmas tree against the Oilers all season long.
Not great.
And mostly because of Connor Mack, who had 22 points in 9 games against the Jets this year.
That's insane. He's insane.
In 9 games. I won't call him his nickname because apparently people get ticked off if I call him Mick whatever his nickname is. I won't say it because
Jesus.
Yes. But 22 points in 9 games is insane. And he just completely obliterated them. The Oilers went 7-2 against the Jets in the season series. I think the Oilers get it done quick. And if you feel really confident about a sweep, which these are fairly good odds for a team that I feel like is going to dominate this series, on the Twin Spire Sportsbook app, you can get the exact outcome of the series, Oilers to win 4-0 at plus 850.
That's nice. Good
value.
Might
want to throw a few shekels on that just in case the Oilers obliterate them in the playoffs like they did in the regular season. All right, let's move on to the Central Division.
Number four.
All right. It is the series that everybody here is interested in. the Carolina Hurricanes versus the Nashville Predators. And I've seen a lot of picks out there already on this series that say either Hurricanes in four, Hurricanes in five. Anybody who has listened to Preds Insiders or even Robbie on Rex Road in the last couple of weeks knows that I am pretty confident the Preds are going to make this a series. And if not make it a series, win the series. And the over 5.5 feels like a fairly realistic outcome of this series if UC Soros continues to be dynamite between the pipes, which I think you can, I won't say bank on, but he's played so well for so long that I have a hard time believing that since the playoffs are here, he's just going to go down the tubes. Give me over 5.5 games in this series between the Canes and the Preds, which you can also get at plus odds at plus 110 on TwinSpires. Elijah, is over 5.5 games for Canes Preds cash, or is it trash?
I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be Johnny Raincloud here, and I'm trashing it.
No.
I'm going to. I love Soros. And the last two games against the Hurricanes, as emotionally driven as they were, gave me hope that the Preds can win two or three games in this series. They can mess around and find themselves in a series that a month ago we thought they wouldn't belong in. But I take the six games against the Hurricanes beforehand into account. The Hurricanes are just that good. They're dominant. They're so fast. They might be the fastest team in the NHL. I think if the Hurricanes stick with Alex Nedeljkovic, I think they can win this in five. I think the smart play is to run with Nedeljkovic, even though he's young, doesn't have, I guess, hardly any playoff experience. He's been their best goalie all year long, and I think by a mile. I think if they play him, they're just going to give them the best chance to win. The Preds are going to steal one because Soros has been that good. But all the first six games and the larger sample size of the Hurricanes dominating the Preds this year make it feel a lot more like a mismatch. I really hope I'm wrong. I am occasionally. And I would like to be here because I'd love to see this Preds team make a run. And the way they've kind of banded together over the last couple of months has been one of the more fun things we've seen sports-wise in this city in a hot minute. But I think the magic does kind of end here. I think when push comes to shove, this Hurricanes team is a legit cup contender. And I think this is where they start. This is where they show it. And I think they win in five because I will give the Preds one game. Soros will definitely steal them one in a game in which they shut out the Hurricanes. That will happen.
Well, I mean, we've seen a lot of cup contenders go down in round one before.
Get swept.
And you know what? You and everybody else can just keep doubting the Preds. I'm not going to do that. I think the Preds are going to make this a series, if not win it. So give me over 5.5, and we'll see here in the matter of a couple weeks which one of us is correct on that. All right, the final pick of cash or trash, we move to the West.
Number five.
Colorado versus St. Louis, the biggest mismatch in round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. And I understand the St. Louis Blues won the cup just a couple years ago, and that was a great story. Jordan Binnington was fantastic. But the Blues have been inconsistent all year. You cannot trust the Blues with almost anything. Any amount of money that you put on the Blues, you can't trust it. You just cannot trust it. Meanwhile, the Colorado Avalanche look like a complete buzzsaw right now. They just smoked the LA Kings in two almost warm-up games for the playoffs by a combined score of 11-1 in the last two nights. This is a complete mismatch. I'm going under 5.5 games in this series because I think Colorado makes it a quick one. Elijah, is that cash or is it trash?
That's cash, and I'm going to sweep up all this cash we make with a broom because it's going to be indeed a sweep. I don't see the Blues winning one game.
Ooh.
The Avalanche, I think that they're my pick to win the whole thing. I think they're the best team all the way through. Philip Grubauer has been fantastic this year, and that's the one thing that's really kept Colorado from being able to win the whole thing. It's like you said, it's a total mismatch. The Avalanche are riding on this high of winning the President's Trophy, which has jinxed a lot of teams, but the last time that the Colorado Avalanche won the President's Trophy, they also won the more important, bigger silver trophy at the end of the season as well, that being the Stanley Cup. History, I think, repeats itself, and it starts in this first round.
All right. So you agree with three and disagree with two, which seems to be about the norm between me and Chase. So good job with Cash or Trash. We will have to reconvene here in a couple weeks and see who was right and who was wrong.
Oh, I'm excited. Playoff. You know
You know what else I'm excited for?
What you got?
Our parlays of the week and our future bets of the week, all coming up next. Parlays of the week, Back to the Future, two of our favorite portions of the Money Line every single Friday night. We will get to that coming up next. He's Elijah Campbell, sitting in for Chase McCabe. I'm Ryan Porth. This is the Money Line, powered by the Twin Spire Sportsbook, and you are listening to ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into the show. The Money Line here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Money Line powered by Twin Spire Sportsbook. Ryan Porth and Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday evening. If you're new to the show, the Money Line is every Friday at 6 p.m. We'll be on next Thursday at 6 because game 3 of Preds Canes actually starts at 6 p.m. A rare early start time for the Preds at home in the playoffs. Thank God for no 8:30 starts. So next Thursday, 6 p.m., the Money Line. Chase McCabe will be back in the saddle. And filling in for Chase tonight is Elijah Campbell. Elijah, let's get to our parlays and futures of the week. And let's start with futures because mine is NHL related. Last segment, we went through some picks for round one of the Stanley Cup playoffs. My future bet of the week, I was looking at the Stanley Cup odds on the Twin Spire Sportsbook, and one really stuck out to me because I think the Boston Bruins are a sleeping giant in the Stanley Cup playoffs here. Now, Agreed. Could they go down in round one to the Caps? Sure. I have a gut feeling that the Bruins are about to go on a run here, and it would be ironic because Taylor Hall could be a big part of that. The Bruins were 12-4-1 down the stretch, and you take one glance at their schedule and you say, oh, well, they beat up on Buffalo. They beat up on the Rangers and the Devils. Not entirely true because they did go 5-2 in that stretch of the last 17 games. They went 5-2 against the fellow playoff teams in the East. I really like the Boston Bruins. They're getting healthier now. Tuukka Rask is back and playing. I am at plus 1,000 going to look at the Boston Bruins as my future bet of the week in our Back to the Future segment. So, Elijah, that feels like good value to me.
That's spectacular value, especially for a team that, I mean, has all the firepower of almost any contender that's in the league right now. A team that's probably the most, in my opinion, it's my favorite power play to watch. As well, having guys like Bergeron, Marchand, Hall.
Yep.
I mean, Pasternak, and one of the more underrated players, I think, in the NHL. I think he's as good a goal scorer as it gets. I love it. I love the pick.
Like, Toronto is plus 550 and Boston is plus 1,000. Something there just feels off to me. Toronto doesn't really have a goaltender that you can trust in the playoffs, and Tuukka Rask has been there, done that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I get it. The road is going to be tough. I mean, Boston could have to go through both Washington and Pittsburgh just to get to the final four. But I think plus 1,000 is fairly good value for the Bruins, a team that historically in the last, decade, in the last 12 years has gone on runs in the playoffs. So plus 1,000 for the Bruins. I'm looking at that one. Which future bet for you, Elijah, are you looking at?
I want to take this to the NBA here, and a team that has been relatively forgotten about by most people that follow the NBA. They have flown under the radar, and that's the Milwaukee Bucks. Their odds to win the NBA championship are plus 900 right now. And one reason why I still like it is because, A, their biggest obstacle is going to be the Brooklyn Nets, who, of course, have the best trio in the sport, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, James Harden. And they've been 3-1 against them this year. And a lot of those games weren't particularly close. I mean, I guess a couple of them were, but I mean, they dominated and led for a lot of those games. And people forget that Giannis Antetokounmpo, it might still be the best overall player in basketball. He's not going to win his third straight MVP this year, but he is having a season that was almost as good as maybe his first MVP season. The team stacked up on three-point shooters, the number 3 3-point shooting team in the NBA right now. Giannis Antetokounmpo is still, in my opinion, the best on-ball defender in the NBA because of his length. Drew Holiday, should finally be in an all-defensive team. He's one of the best perimeter defenders in the league as well. Adding P.J. Tucker was a very slept-on trade acquisition, a guy who plays solid defense and is one of the best corner three-point shooters in basketball. They don't have the burden of being the number one overall seed like they did the last 2 years. I just think this could be the year. It's now or never for the Milwaukee Bucks. I like them to at least win the East. I still think you can never count out the Lakers. You can never count out LeBron James. I get that. The Clippers are looking pretty good. The Jazz and Suns are great stories. I don't see them making it out of the West with the two LA teams in there. I think at plus 900, the value for the Bucks is tremendous because if you give me the best player in the sport, I'm going to take it. And I think that's where Giannis Antetokounmpo is right now. That one for me is too good not to go ahead and take up because of the value, and the Bucks have the making of a championship team. Star players, depth, defense, and 3-point shooting. Not much more you can ask for.
So real quick, if it's Nets Bucks in the Eastern Conference final, what is your pick? Bucks in how many?
I'd say Bucks in seven. I mean, it's going to be really, really hard to pick against Kyrie, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. James Harden, which when he's played this year, you can make a case that he's the MVP of the league. He's been incredible this year. So the best James Harden we've seen, and he hasn't had to contend for a scoring title to do it. But the depth of the Bucks to me is, I think I like their role players better. I like the shooting off the bench better. I think they're a better defensive team. And I think when it comes to playoff time, the game slows down, you're not playing a hectic pace, I like having Drew Holiday and Giannis Antetokounmpo to be able to get enough stops to win enough games throughout the East to make it to the finals.
All right. Your parlay of the week is what?
All right. This is going to be Sunday. It's a one-gamer here. I'm a sucker for the one-game parlay. Huge game in Golden State between the Warriors and Grizzlies, battling for position in the play-in tournament and battling for home court advantage in the play-in tournament. I like the Warriors to win on the money line. And then if the spread is, because the line's not out just yet, but I will say if the spread is more than 3.5, take the Grizzlies to cover, because the Grizzlies, I think, are going to give them a run for their money, and the Warriors will just pull away late. I love this Grizzlies team. They have two of the more unique players in basketball with Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. And Jaren Jackson Jr., who's missed most of the year, is finally getting his legs under him. He's finally starting to turn into the best version of himself. I love the Grizzlies to make competitive. But then I have some player props here. Steph Curry's going to make more than 6 threes. He's averaging 5 on the year. I mean, in a big game, he's going to shoot a ton of them. I would be surprised if he shoots less than 15. If he's shooting more than 15, I'd like him to make more than 6 because he's making them at over a 40% clip here. He's actually making them at 42%, which is one of his best career years, and this is coming from the greatest shooter to ever play the game. Draymond Green, more than 15 rebounds and assists, a guy who's averaging, I mean, about 8 rebounds and 8 assists as well. This guy does this pretty frequently, and he's having one of his best years. He's 8.9 assists, 7.1 rebounds, having one of his best career years as well. I love Draymond to get more than 15 rebounds and assists. Ja Morant's going to go over 22 points. He's averaging about 20 on the year. I think he's going to be taking a lot of shots because they're going to need him to generate a lot of the offense. And then my final sleeper prop, Desmond Bane, comes off the bench for the Grizzlies, has made some starts this year, only makes about 1.5 threes a game. He is the sharp shooter they drafted out of TCU, who I thought was an absolute steal in the draft because he was one of the best shooters in the draft. He's going to make more than 2 threes because I think if they want to win the game, he's going to have to hit more than 2 threes. Lights out 3-point shooter, love watching him play. And in the games in which the Grizzlies have won some big games this year, Desmond Bane has always hit a couple threes in those. So that's a sleeper prop that I like.
All right. Deep. Memphis, Golden State, a huge game coming up Sunday afternoon out in the Bay Area. So we'll all be watching that. My parlay of the week is 3 MLB games tonight that 2 of them start here at the top of the hour and then 1 later. I'm going with Astros on the run line, -1.5 at home against Texas, with Zach Greinke on the mound for Houston, and Texas is just abysmal.
Oh, they're awful.
Going with Milwaukee tonight. Sorry, Braves fans. Milwaukee -1.5 with Drew Smiley on the mound for the Braves. He is awful.
And over 6 ERA.
Exactly. So the Brewers -1.5. And then in what I think is going to be a low-scoring game, give me the Dodgers money line with Clayton Kershaw on the mound. I'm not going with the run line because I could see this being like a 3-2 game between the Dodgers and the Marlins because Sandy Alcantara isn't bad himself for Miami. So that is my three-leg parlay in baseball tonight, and that pumps out at plus 598 as a three-leg parlay. So we'll see if I hit on that parlay. And again, those games are coming up in just about 12 minutes. But coming up next, we're going to get to our locks of the week. And we have a correction to make on something we said earlier in the show. We will get to that coming up next. He's Elijah Campbell. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to The Money Line powered by Twin Spire Sportsbook here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Thankfully for the listening audience, I didn't start singing along to this song. So hopefully everyone keeps listening here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's the final segment of The Money Line. Ryan Porth, Elijah Campbell here with you on this Friday evening. Maybe you can win a little bit of beer money by going with some of the picks, or you can just avoid them altogether and save your beer money instead of losing it. Elijah, it is time for our locks of the week. We got to move quick here. So we said at the start of the show that you are 1-0 with your locks, but a caller called in and corrected us.
That's right.
And said that you are 0-1. And I don't know how we could have forgotten your miss over a month ago when you took Gonzaga minus the 11.5 against UCLA in the Final Four as your lock.
I did. I thought I took the Suns minus the 15.5 against the Thunder in what was a massive spread. I guaranteed it in the segment beforehand. I did not officially make that my lock, so my mistake. Big shout out to James for calling in and calling me out on lying on my resume. So now that I have been busted, we will move me to 0-1. So I'm batting at 0 instead of 1,000.
All right. So since you are the guest fill-in for Chase McCabe here this evening, I will let you go first and let you try to redeem yourself with your lock of the week, which is what?
Which is going to be on the baseball diamond. Give me the A's run line in Minnesota tonight. My man Frankie Montas is on the mound against Matt Shoemaker. The Twins have been atrocious this year, surprisingly atrocious. I don't think they're going to pick it up anytime soon. They probably will later in the year. But an interesting stat, the A's on the run line on the road are 10-5. So give me the A's on the road to win by more than one run in Minnesota.
See, I'm scared to bet against Minnesota, because I feel like at some point they are going to turn it around and start getting hot. But I don't know. I might ride that. We'll see. We'll see what decision I make here in the next 5 minutes. But I might ride that because Oakland is pretty darn good and the Twins stink. So my lock of the week, I'm going back to the ice. I've had a Stanley Cup playoff theme to tonight's money line with a lot of my picks. My lock of the week is game one Sunday between the Pens and the Islanders.
Love it.
I mentioned how the Pittsburgh Penguins are on a heater coming into the playoffs and the New York Islanders are not. The Pens are 13-3-1 in their last 17 games. New York is 6-7-3 in their last 16. The Islanders peaked around April Fool's Day and the Penguins are peaking right now. And in addition to those numbers, the Penguins at home this year not only were 4-0 at home against the Islanders, but they were 22-4-2 at PPG Paints Arena all season long. So give me the Penguins money line as my lock of the week at minus 130. They are going to beat the Islanders in game one on Sunday and put the pressure on Barry Trotz's team to win game two. As you mentioned earlier in the show, Elijah, the Pens got swept by the Isles in 2019. It's time for revenge. At least here in game one, the Penguins start well with a game one win.
Oh, I love that. I wouldn't be surprised if they sweep the Islanders too, to be honest with you, just because of that 2019 memory and the memory of 2020, where they did get beat by a Montreal Canadiens team that I didn't think belonged in the same rink as them. So I think this is a motivated Pittsburgh Penguins team that's playing their best hockey. I like them. Like them a lot, especially in game one.
So that is a game. That is a kegs and eggs game on NBC, 11 a.m. Central Time. So can't wait to wake up Sunday and have playoff hockey starting between the Pens and the Isles on Sunday. Now, before we get out of here, we only have about a minute left. But Elijah, the Preds and the Canes coming up, game one starting Monday night between the two teams. And on the TwinSpire Sportsbook app, the Carolina Hurricanes are -250 to win the series, which I thought was a little high. I thought they would be closer to -200 compared to some of the other sports books that that have some of these same props available. But -250 for the Canes against the Preds, and the Preds are coming in at +196 on the TwinSpire Sportsbook app. So interesting, interesting one there. Now, my pick that I made on Preds Insiders earlier this week was Preds in six.
All right.
I'm a believer in this team right now, and UC Soros and just the complete mojo that they have. The Canes have never really had a target on their back. So if the Preds were to win in six, you can get Nashville Predators to win 4-2 in the series at +750. In the exact outcome of the series. So we will see. But
I like those odds.
That's coming up in 72 hours. Elijah, we can't wait. Thank you for filling in for Chase McCabe. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday.
You as well. Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I have a blast doing this. So nice to make us some money.
The money line at 6 o'clock on Fridays is always a blast. We appreciate everybody listening. We will talk to you next Thursday at 6. Coming up next, it is a star-studded edition of Talking with TD podcast with Caleb Farley, Lewis Riddick, Mike Wells, who covers the Colts. Star-studded lineup on the Talking with TD podcast. You'll be able to hear that coming up next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.